Good morning, everyone. We want to give you a very earnest word of welcome along to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. Just at the commencement of our worship, we're going to read to you one verse from Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It's in keeping with our Bible study a little later in the meeting. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. That's Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, especially the first part of the verse. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do it with thy might. And that should certainly be true of us as the people of God. Psalm 100 is our opening praise. It's the words of the first version. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The 100th Psalm, and we'll stand to sing, please. Just going to settle our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Think of the words that we've just sung. O enter then his gates with praise, approach with joy his courts unto. Praise the Lord and bless his name always, for it is seemly so to do. So we want to enter into the Lord's house today with praise. Acknowledge all his goodness, the many blessings we have received from him during this past week especially. Heavenly Father, we praise thee at the outset for the blessing just of being here today in thy house. We thank you for the opportunity to come to thy house to worship thee. Thank you for the return of the Sabbath day. We do praise thee, Father, for bringing us safely through another week. We thank you for watching over us and our families since last we met in this manner. We thank you, Father, for the doors of thy house that are open, and we praise thee for the liberty that is given to us in this land to meet in this manner. Pray that that might ever be kept, that that might ever be preserved and maintained. I want to thank you, Father, for enabling all of us to be here in thy house today, to gather together, just in this manner. Your word says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Thank you for the opportunity of fellowship. Our prayer is that you'll make us a blessing, the one to the other. We pray, Father, that you'll give us wisdom as we speak together. We pray that you'll make our fellowship a blessing to those that are around us. We want to pray, Father, make us a channel of blessing, even this day. Give us grace, Father, that we might continue in the things of God. We're conscious, Father, of the evil days in which we're found. The Saviour told us, he foretold, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And Father, we pray, save us from that coldness of heart. Save us today from lukewarmness, the Laodicean spirit. We pray, Father, that you'll give us a greater zeal in the things of God, greater fervency in our service. We think, Father, just of those words that we read a little earlier, whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Lord, we ask that that might be the mark of our lives, and especially the mark of our service for Christ. We ask thee, Father, just to lead us today. We desire to know the very definite leading of the Lord in this service. Thank you for the many promises of guidance that are found in your word. You've assured us that you'll be our guide, even unto death. What an encouragement that is, that right to the very journey's end, right to the close of our days upon this earth, that you'll guide us in all that we would do. And especially, Father, guide us in our worship today. We ask that as we're bowed before thee, that the words of our mouths and even the very meditations of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We're conscious, Father, that even at a time such as this, gathered in thy house, assembled before thee at your feet, that there are those thoughts that can come into our hearts and into our minds that are not appropriate for a time such as this. We're conscious, Father, that even the devil himself can enter into a meeting and a gathering such as this. We remember that we read of Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord and Satan at his right hand to resist him. And our prayer, Father, is that you would drive the devil from this place. Pray that you'll shelter this meeting today beneath the precious blood of the Lamb. We remember that Paul said of his labors, even writing to the Thessalonians, that Satan hindered him. And Lord, we want to pray that you would overthrow the plans and the purposes of the devil, as he would want to hinder this testimony and hinder the witness of the gospel across our land, even at this time. We rejoice in the knowledge that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We rejoice in the greatness of the power of our God, that we bow today before the one who is the Almighty, the omnipotent God, the one to whom there is no limits to your power, no limits to your knowledge, no limits even to space, that you're found in all places and at all times. We pray, Father, those great scriptural truths and doctrines might solemnize our hearts and reverence our hearts, even as we're gathered here before thee. We rejoice that we can call thee our God. We thank you, Father, for your grace that reached down and saved us, and for all that have that saving knowledge in this service today. Our prayer, Father, is that we would live lives that are glorifying to our Savior. We pray that our lives might be a witness, and a good witness for Christ and for his gospel. And our prayer, Father, is that every person in this meeting and every person in our families would know Christ. Lord, it's the burden of our hearts that our children and grandchildren and all the wider family circle, that every one of them would have a testimony to God's saving grace. We pray that you'll bless our homes and our families, We pray that you'll bless us in the things that are necessary for living here in this world. But Lord, bless our families, especially spiritually, in the things of God. We pray that they'll have a heart for God. They'll have a love for your house and a love for your word and a thirst for the things of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Lord, we pray that that might be so of all the members of our family. Remember, Father, the rulers of our land at this time. We're conscious, Father, just of all that is taking place, the need of the intervention of God in these days. Remember that Daniel spoke about, to us belongeth confusion of face. And we're conscious of much confusion that takes place and is taking place in our province and even in the nation as a whole. Lord, we ask thee to intervene in these days. Turn this land again to yourself. You've said we're to pray for kings and all in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray, Father, that you would visit this land so that once again that godliness and righteousness might be the mark of this nation of ours. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're praying, Father, that the laws in our land would be laws that would be right, laws that would be in keeping with your word, laws that would be pleasing to yourself. We want today especially to remember our monarch on this very special day, the 70th anniversary of her accession to the throne. Thank you for the hand upon her, Queen. We thank you, Father, for the health, the long life with which you have blessed her. We thank you for how she has been used, the blessing that her life has been to our land and nation, to the Commonwealth, even to the world. We pray it might please thee to sustain her in health and strength just at this time. Lord, our prayer is for our Queen and her family. And Lord, we're saddened by many of the events and situations in the royal family even at this time. But we remember the good kings of Judah, that they were those that did those things that were right and pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, we ask that that might be true of our royal family. We pray it might know the visitation of God. We remember what we thought of a few Sabbath evenings ago, that greatest trophy of grace in all the Old Testament scriptures. King Manasseh, at the end of his days, how you brought him down so that you might bring him to Christ in salvation. And Lord, we ask to do the same in our royal house, even at this time. May there be a move of God. May the Lord speak very definitely, even through the events that are taking place at this time. But Lord, we ask thee to remember our nation and our land. And we pray that you'll have mercy upon us. And we ask that we'll know a very powerful visitation of the Spirit of God. So Father, hear our prayers and our cries. And we just pray that you will be with us through the meeting. And we pray not just this meeting, but even the service tonight. Bring in visitors, bring in the lost, bring souls to Christ this day through the witness of this church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading this morning's in the Acts of the Apostles. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're going to read the closing part of the chapter. So the book of Acts, the eighth chapter. Verse 26 is where we're going to begin. So let's hear the word of the Lord, Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Closing there at the end of the chapter, and we're sure today the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. Let me take the opportunity to bid you all an earnest word of welcome. We're thankful for your presence. Very glad to see all that have gathered with us today, some that are back after periods of isolation. We're glad that you're recovered. Thankful you're able to be back with us at public worship, and the Lord's good hand has been upon you. We're especially glad to see our sister, Mrs. Harris Hill, in the service today. We're encouraged that prayer's been answered for her sister Iris, that she's making steady recovery from her surgery. And we're encouraged, and I know she's very encouraged too, to have both of the operations behind her. So we're delighted to see our sister Iris with us today. Remember, please, the meeting tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting downstairs. We invite you to come that wee bit early. We'd be glad of your prayer support. 6:30, the gospel meeting. The theme we're taking up this evening on this special 70th anniversary of the Queen's accession is the spiritual significance of our national colours. Remember, all colours, or many colours in the Bible, have spiritual significance. So we'll take up the spiritual significance of our national colours in the gospel tonight. Tomorrow evening, 7:30, is the next meeting of the Kirk session here in the church. Tuesday evening at 7:15, the children's bright hours here at the church and down in Killalea. Wednesday night, the midweek service. The Lord willing, I'll be here to lead and to preach at the midweek service. Come, please, and join with us at the place of prayer. Friday night at 8:00 is the youth fellowship meeting. More informal meeting this Friday night, a DVD night. So we remind the young people of that and invite and encourage you to come along. Next Lord's Day, the 13th of February, all the meetings at the usual times, 10:40 the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening, preceded by the half hour of prayer at the evening time. The preacher next Lord's Day is Mr. Ian Campbell from the Mourne Church. In the will of the Lord, I'll be preaching down in the Belnahinch congregation at both services. So remember Mr. Campbell as he comes along. We've asked him at one of the meetings to give a little update on the work of the Mourne Missionary Trust, the Beulah Bookshop. We're always very interested in that, and he's been of great help to us in the church here through the Mourne Missionary Trust over the years. Remember to get your copy of the magazines, the LTBS Quarterly, the Vision magazine. Both of those are available in the church. The Presbytery on Friday night announced or agreed that they would have a further Zoom prayer meeting just for the situation in our nation at this time. That's going to take place Saturday, the 19th in the morning time. The times and so on haven't just been confirmed as yet when they are. And remember, you have to get the contact details. We'll send them out, or when they're sent to us, we'll post them up on the Facebook page for anyone that would like to join that special season of prayer. So we encourage as many as possible from the church to do that. The Mission Board are planning this year to have their annual children's camp. It wasn't possible to have it for the last couple of years because of the restrictions and so on. The dates that are set are the 1st to the 5th of August for children between the ages of 8 and 12. It's going to be held just outside Guildford on the road between Portadown and Guildford, the Moyallan Centre over there. The Reverend McKay again is in charge. Applications are available on the Mission Board website. The full details are there on the website as well. It's £130 per child. That is heavily subsidised by the Mission Board and the Presbytery to encourage as many children as possible to come along. And the closing date for applications is the 29th of April. So almost 3 months of time to get signed up for that. Just to highlight as well, the Mission Board is planning to have a missionary conference between the 8th and the 13th of May. The Saturday, the 14th of that week, there'll also be special missionary workshops. Those will be directed especially at young people. The meetings are going to be held in the Lisburn Church. It's felt that that's quite a central area. More details of that will be made known in coming weeks. Watch out on the Mission Board website. They have an advert up there for that special conference already. And as more and more details are confirmed, they will be posted there on the website. So keep that in mind. They're planning to have a challenge just to our congregations at this time. That's the burden of having that special missionary conference. It's based on Acts chapter 16, the vision that Paul had in the night. We want to renew our missionary vision after all the disruption of these last couple of years. So do remember those meetings and pray earnestly for the Lord's blessing to rest upon them. Just to mention a couple of those in the congregation not well, Mr. Tommy Sargent is in hospital. Just at this time, he's been experiencing severe back pain. Through scans that he's had in the hospital, they've identified at least one fracture in Tommy's back. There's to be a consultation with the doctors tomorrow just to decide how to treat that. So do remember Tommy, remember Mrs. Sargent, Wesley and Francis would appreciate your prayers for Tommy very much indeed at this time. Keep in mind our brother, Mr. Norman Kerr. I've mentioned to you that Norman requires an operation for a hernia. The hospital has given the okay for that operation to go ahead. No date has been set for it just as yet. But we would ask you, and I know that Norman would appreciate your prayers. He was 85 during this past week, and his health hasn't been good. He's quite frail. So pray the Lord will strengthen him and undertake and guide with regard to the date for that operation. Remember the Reverend Fitzsimons in your prayers. He's planning to speak at the midweek meeting in Mullaghlass this incoming Tuesday evening. That'll be the first service that he'll have spoken at in approximately a year. He's suffered greatly from the long COVID. I helped down there with a funeral service yesterday. One of the committee men, Mr. Elmer Glass, had passed away, Mr. Fitzsimons didn't feel that he'd be able to do the whole service. He did take part briefly. We're glad that he knew the Lord's help. So do remember the Lord's servant. We're encouraged that he's been making progress in his recovery, but it has been very slow indeed. Our brother Adrian found a memory card in the church. It's a 64 gigabyte SanDisk memory card. We have it here. If it's yours, speak to us after the service is over today. Our second hymn, just before we come to the word of the Lord, is a missionary hymn, 673 in our book, from Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand, where Africa's sunny fountains roll down their golden strand. Think of the words. It takes us to many parts of the earth, just as you sing through the verses. And as part of our message today, we're going to be thinking a little about that, lifting our eyes up and looking out across the nations of the earth. So 673, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Acts chapter 6, please. The sixth chapter of Acts. We'll take a moment just to seek the Lord with the scriptures open in our hands. We know we need the Lord's help. That's always an important way to start any Bible reading, any Bible study, to pray for light from heaven. So let's just seek the Lord together. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon the meeting. We praise you for all that are gathered here. We're mindful, Father, of all that are absent from us. We pray that as time goes by, that there'll be others that will be able to return to the fellowship of the meetings. We pray, Father, that the numbers will continue to increase. The congregation will continue to grow. We're praying, Father, as a congregation, that you'll bring in others. We're praying for the drawing power of your Spirit, especially to draw in the lost to hear the gospel. We're mindful, Father, of the senior members of our congregation that are not able to be here because of weakness and sickness. We pray for our brother Tommy today in the hospital. We're asking that he would especially know the nearness of the Savior, draw near to him. What a comfort, what a blessing the presence of the Lord is. We pray that your servant would know your peace in his heart, just at this time, especially as he's separated from his dear wife. Guide the doctors tomorrow. We thank thee, Father, for guiding their labors already, identifying the cause of the pain. Give them wisdom, we ask, in the decisions that are made. And may your hand, in a very definite way, be upon our brother. Remember Norman as well. Thank you for sustaining Norman. We thank you, Father, for his faithfulness to this church for many years. We ask that you would be near to our brother as well. Sustain him just at this time. We pray that very soon he'd be able to have the operation that he's needed, so that that discomfort, the pain that he's been experiencing, can be dealt with. We pray for your hand upon that operation. We pray, Father, that you'd guide the doctors, but we pray that our brother would be strong enough and well enough to pass through that operation when the time comes. Thank you, Father, for our sister Iris with us today. We praise thee for the help and grace that she has known even over these last 6 or 7 months, the two operations that she's passed through. We give thee thanks for your faithfulness, for guiding all the doctors. We thank you for the success that the operations have been. And we pray that very soon our sister might be restored again to full health and to strength. We're mindful, Father, as well, of families that have been isolating and some that are still having to isolate and be careful because of family members that have taken the virus. Be with them. Grant them your peace. But we pray that those that are unwell will know the healing and strengthening of the Lord just at this time. Abide with us around the word, Father. Bless this time. We pray it'll be a special time. We come, Father, that we might be taught of God. We come to learn more of your word. We come to hear your voice. And we're pleading now unitedly that you'll come and speak to all our hearts. Answer these our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 8 and the 30th verse, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him," that's to the eunuch, "and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" So it's especially the opening part of the verse where it says, "And Philip ran thither to him." The theme of the message this morning is the man who ran for God. It certainly sums up Philip's life, and especially Philip's circumstances, what Philip did on this occasion, what is recorded of Philip here in Acts 8, verse 30. Just a highlight for you, if you're ever over in Banbridge, go to the council building, go to the grounds of the council building. There's a very lovely, very significant monument there to Joseph Scriven. Remember, he was a Banbridge man. The man that wrote that lovely hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." They have most of the words of the hymn inscribed on the walls of that monument, the first verse in full, the opening four lines of the second verse, and the opening four lines of the third verse. It's interesting, they start off the third verse with a line that is different from the words that we're familiar with singing. They start off that third verse with the words, "Are we cold and unbelieving?" And I'd like you to think of that. that sentence. It's certainly a challenge. It's a good question for us to ask. This is the winter time. It's a colder morning. We feel the bite of the wind as we come into the house of God. But that's a good inquiry for us to make spiritually. Are we cold and unbelieving? Is that true of you as a Christian? Is that the mark of us as a congregation? Can I emphasize to you that as believers, our lives and our service, it should be marked by zeal, not by coldness and not by lukewarmness. In other words, Christians are those that should be fervent. We should be earnest in all of our efforts for Christ in order to forward the cause of the gospel. And in this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 8, Philip sets us a great example of zeal. Notice carefully the words of our text. It says that Philip ran thither to him. Do you see the zeal? Do you see the fervency, the earnestness that he had? He's so keen, he's so eager to reach this man that he's running. He's sprinting to him. And what a challenge that is to our hearts today. If we're honest, we all know that at times our zeal can cool off. Not as keen to do the outreach, not as keen to come to the meetings, not as keen to be at the prayer meeting. As time goes by, you can become sluggish, indifferent, apathetic in your service for Christ. Maybe that's true of you today. You're not as eager to do the work of God as once you were. You're beginning to drag your feet. You may still get involved in the work. You may still get involved in some of the departments of the church, but it's reluctantly, not eagerly. Instead of running to the church activities, you go with heavy feet. Your feet don't want to go to the place where your mind is directing you. We can lose that zeal, brethren and sisters. And if that's how you find yourself today, I want you to think carefully about Philip, the man that's to the fore in this chapter, because he's a challenge, and he's a challenge to all of our hearts. We've entered into a new year. It's amazing that 1 month of that new year is already passed. As we look out on the remainder of this year, and as we look out in the will of God on the remainder of our lives, however long or short that is, the reality is this, brethren and sisters, there's much to be done. There's much work to be done. Much work to be done for Christ and in the cause of the gospel. And what you and I need to pray is that we will look at Philip running, and he's running in the Gaza desert, way down there in the southwestern corner of the land of Israel, and pray that as you see Philip running to the Ethiopian eunuch to tell him of Christ, that God will stir you up and that you will maybe be more zealous in the work of God, more zealous in the work that God has given you to do. So let us look together today at the man who ran and the man who ran for God. You'll notice, first of all, the man that Philip ran to. Look at verse 27. It says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." This is the famous story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And there are many things that could be said concerning the Ethiopian eunuch. But think, if you would, of his ethnic background. By birth, this eunuch was an African. He was an Ethiopian. In other words, he was a descendant of Ham. What we're reading about here specifically, one of the reasons why this chapter is so important, why it's of such interest, is we're learning here about the gospel going into the great continent of Africa. Can I point out to you that in Acts chapters 8, 9, and 10, three great conversions, three very important conversions take place. Here in chapter 8, the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. As I've said, he's an African, a descendant of Ham. In the next chapter, there's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, how significant that was in the history of the New Testament church. Remember that Saul was a Jew. Saul was then a descendant of Ham. In chapter 10, you read about the conversion of Cornelius, the centurion. Remember, he was a Gentile. He was a European. Therefore, he was a descendant of Japheth. So here are the descendants of all three of Noah's children, all three of Noah's sons. And if you recall, the Bible tells us that after the flood, the whole world was repopulated by the sons of Noah. So here, in these three chapters, these three very important, these three very significant conversions, here are representatives of every race on earth. So what we have here, brethren and sisters, in these three conversions of the eunuch and Saul and Cornelius, they teach us the gospel is for the whole world. The gospel of Christ is for every corner of the earth. The lesson is, we're not just to take the gospel to certain people, to certain countries, to certain continents. We're not just to take the gospel to our own community. We're to run to all nations, to all nationalities, with the message of the gospel of God's redeeming grace. The sad thing is that often our prejudices can cause us to hold back. You may be like that. You may not want to take the gospel to a certain people, to a people from a particular country, to a people from a particular background, because of a bias that is deep-rooted in your heart, a bias that is there against that particular people. If that's the case, you need to pray the Lord will deal with you, speak to you about that manner. Remember, that was the problem that Jonah had. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, were his political enemies. He didn't want them to be saved. He didn't want God to show mercy upon the Ninevites. We're told at the beginning of chapter 4, after God had visited the city in such a singular manner that it turned to God from the least to the greatest, that it displeased Jonah exceedingly. It's not a terrible thing, terrible statement to be recorded in the book of God against a servant of the Lord. That's the reason why he ran away in the first place. It was because of his prejudice, because of his bias. So brethren and sisters, don't let a prejudice get in the way. God wants you and I, the church as a whole, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know the little chorus we teach the boys and girls? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's one of the lessons we learn here in the life of Philip. We learn here in this section of the book of Acts. You're to be zealous to take the gospel to people of every color and people of every nationality. So that's the man that Philip ran to. Think as well of the place that Philip ran to. Notice there verse 26 of the chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. Mark the final word of the verse, the word desert. Can I remind you, if you check the earlier chapters of the book of Acts, up until now Philip had been in areas of great population. He had previously lived and labored in Jerusalem and in Samaria, areas of high density as far as population was concerned. But now he's in the desert. The Lord has directed him to the desert place. He's out in the wilderness. Now he's away from the crowd. He's away from the multitude. He's no longer in the public gaze. He's no longer under the watchful eye of other members of the church and the congregation. In fact, there's virtually nobody there to see what he does or what he doesn't do. There are no elders, no church officers to check up on his efforts, to keep an eye and oversee his work. And in those circumstances, the temptation would be to slack off. not to do anything, or at best to do very little. He could have thought like that. There's only one man here. It's hardly worth the bother. I've been very, very busy up to now, so I need a time of rest. Let's take things a wee bit easier. But that wasn't Philip's heart. That wasn't his attitude. That wasn't his outlook. Because even away out there, alone in the desert place, in the wilderness, the Word of God records that Philip ran. He ran to preach the gospel. He was zealous to reach that one soul for Christ. Even when no one else could see him, even when no one else could pass comment, know what he was doing or praise his efforts. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, we need to be like Philip in that regard. Don't just be zealous for the Lord when you're in the company of other Christians. Don't just be zealous at public worship. We're all very good at going through the ritual, putting on a fair show in the flesh. So don't just be zealous in public worship when you're involved in some of the activities, some of the departments of the church. Don't just be zealous and earnest when others are watching. Do you remember the warning Paul gave when he was writing to the Ephesian believers? He said, not with eye service as men pleasers. Eye service is you just do it when others are looking. You just do it because you know you're in the gaze of others. You want to please men as men pleasers. That's not the way we're to live. That's not the sort of attitude, the sort of heart we're to have as Christians. Don't put on the show for the crowd. Don't be a Christian who just puts on the zeal for those who are looking on, those who are watching, to merely impress those that are around. But strive, brethren and sisters, always to be the same, to have the same zeal as a Christian in private that you have in public. Be as earnest when nobody sees you as when you are doing something before the whole congregation or before the multitude. Because what we must all remember is the words of Hagar. Thou God seest me. God always sees us. Even when the times when nobody else sees what we're doing, the efforts that we're making, or the carelessness that we're displaying. Even when no other eye is watching, you can be sure that God is. Thou God seest me. He is observing, always observing, and he's recording all that we ever do or don't do. And if you always remember that truth, that the Lord's eye is upon you, then no matter where you are, you will serve God as Philip did. You will serve God with all your heart, and you'll serve him with all of your might. The other thing I'll emphasize about the man that ran for God is the message. We've thought of the man that he ran to. We've thought of the place that he ran in. Think of the message that he ran with. And you have it there in verse 35. Go a little further down the chapter. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So Philip ran to this man, this African, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he ran to him not to tell him about himself, not to tell him about his country, his church, his denomination. He ran to tell him about Christ, to tell him about Jesus, the one that is mighty to save. We could describe Philip as a PC, not a police constable. He was a preacher of Christ. And every Christian should be a PC in that regard. Philip had a Christ-centered life, and he had a Christ-centered ministry. And we all need to learn from that, brethren and sisters. All too often as Christians, we're zealous to promote the wrong message. We can be zealous to promote a political message. And coming from Northern Ireland, we all know about that. The time, the effort put into electioneering, running to political rallies to promote a political message, a political ethos, and so forth. You can also be zealous to promote a business message, Put all your heart into selling the firm's product, promoting the company's policy. You can be too taken up with all of those things. Of course, they all have their place, if they're in their rightful place. But first and foremost, we should be earnest to speak about Jesus Christ. You should be zealous to spread the gospel message wherever you go, wherever the providence of God takes you in this life. As the hymn writer said, I would not with swift-winged zeal on the world's errands go, and then labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. It's not an interesting verse. Out in the world, in worldly pursuits, during the other days of the week, it's swift-winged zeal. We do it with all our might, with all our heart. But when it comes to the Lord's day, the Lord's house, the Lord's work, we go to those things with weary feet and slow. In other words, zealous in the things of the world, but indifferent in the work of the gospel. We need, brethren and sisters, that heart, that fervency, to run with the gospel message, to run to all around us, every opportunity afforded to us, to run with the good news of the one who died for sinners. So here's the man who ran for God, the man that he ran to, the Ethiopian eunuch. The place that he ran in the desert, away out there in the wilderness, when very few, if any, could see the efforts that he was making. God could see. That's why it's in the book. The Spirit of God wrote it into the book for our learning. And then the message that he ran with, what a message it is, no greater. The message of Jesus Christ crucified. You know, it's interesting, the meaning of the name Philip. It means a lover of horses. Or in other words, one who is a lover of the race. Does not go well with our text, go well with our theme. The man that ran for God. Philip loved the race, loved the Christian race. He loved to run. Seemed to be a fit young man. Loved to run for God. And he finished the race well. And that's the challenge, men and women. The challenge for all of us. We've highlighted today that we can become cold, apathetic, lukewarm, indifferent. Here's a man with great zeal running the race, and he finished the race well. When you see the runners at the Olympics and other great events, whenever all of those events are taking place, you see the earnestness with which they want to finish. They put in the greatest exertion. When they come near the close, they want to finish the race well. Well, that's how it was with Philip. And that's how it should be with us also. Let me tell you, or remind you, of this missionary story as I finish. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, in the year 1857, he was in the area of Ningpo in China, witnessing to a man of his need of Christ. The man was challenged. He was really gripped by the message of the gospel. And in response, he asked Hudson Taylor the question, how long have you had these good tidings in your country? How long have you had this message in Britain? Hudson Taylor replied, we've had it for centuries. You can appreciate that that man in the darkness, the spiritual darkness of China, was astounded, stunned by that response. He asked him, why has it taken you so long to bring that country to our people, or to bring that message to our people, to our nation? He said, my father died seeking the truth. Why did you not come sooner? Well, what a challenge, men and women. Could it be that you haven't gone to someone sooner to tell them of Christ? Maybe because of your indifference, your lack of zeal. You have known the gospel for years. You have known it all of your life, been familiar with the things of God, but you've been indifferent, telling some friend, some neighbor, some colleague at work, the good news of one that is mighty to save. Sometimes we hear that expression of those that are out of breath, running after souls. It's a sad reflection. There's maybe not too many Christians like that today. That's the sort of man that Philip was. Think of it. He ran. He ran to the chariot. He ran after this soul for Christ. And that is what you and I should be as well, brethren and sisters. May it be said of us what was said of the Lord Jesus Christ. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. His life was consumed with zeal in the service of God. So I urge you to be like him. Be Christ-like in your service. Be Christ-like in the zeal that you have in the service of the Master. It says, Philip ran thither. Here's the man that ran. And he didn't just run any race. He's the man that ran God's race. He was the man that ran for God. May the Lord bless his word today to all our hearts for Jesus' sake. 506, Thomas Hornblower Gill's hymn, Lord, in the fullness of my might, I would for thee be strong, while runneth o'er each dear delight, to thee should soar my song. The middle verse is those words we quoted in the message. I would not with swift winged zeal on the world's errands go, and labour up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. May the Lord impress those words afresh upon your heart today. So 506, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Just bow in prayer. Oh, choose me in my golden time, in my dear joys have part. For thee, the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Remember that these things are written for our learning. Pray you'll speak to our hearts, speak on to us. Pray, fill us today with thy Spirit, We ask, Father, that we will be like Christ our Saviour in the zeal that marks our service. Help us to serve thee, Father, with all our heart, with all our soul. We pray that we will be those that run for God. And especially, Father, put your hand upon us that we run after the lost, run after souls for the Master. Abide with us through today. Bless us in our homes. May we know the presence of the Lord. We pray that your blessing will be upon all the families of this congregation. Remember, the scriptures tell us of Philip that he had four daughters, every one of them that prophesied, every one of them that had a clear testimony involved in the service of Christ. Lord, give to us, we pray, such homes and such families, we ask. Hear these our cries now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be our abiding portion. We ask in Jesus' name.